Today's sermon text is from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This is the word of God.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we are in great need this morning, so we come to you in the name of Jesus. We are in great need that this word that almost everyone in this room has heard literally hundreds of thousands of times, faith, might be beautiful in our sight. Father, would you do a work in me and my brothers and sisters in here? Would you do a work in the unconverted, our friends and our children who are in here? That we would see that your great design is to save us by faith, to make us righteous by faith. Protect us from the evil one who has run amok this week, who has desires to hurt and devour everyone in this room. Would you protect us from him, Father? Would you give us a moment and quench all his fiery darts and weapons he would throw against us and everything under his power? Would you keep us from temptation and help us to focus simply on your word? In the name of Jesus, amen. So you probably noticed an Advent candle burning. We lit that last Sunday night, and we'll light the second one tonight. So I just want to encourage everyone to come out tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll have a pretty simple service, and we'll light the next candle, do some praying, do some scripture reading, do some singing together. And then for any who want to, can hang out and fellowship afterwards and just enjoy time together fellowshipping. And so that'll be tonight at 6 o'clock. I just want to remind you then, what we talked about last week was righteousness of God, right? The righteousness of God, the justice of God. And we saw that this word, this root word, meaning just or right, is used over 60 times in Romans. That Romans is a book about how one is made righteous and what the righteous do. That's what the book of Romans is about. It's about our justification. The justification is being made righteous. You need to always remember that going through Romans especially. But those words, justice and righteousness, both come from this word that means equity, means right. And so someone who is righteous is just. And being justified means you've been made righteous, okay? So that was last week. We saw that the gospel itself, the reason he's not ashamed of it, he's eager to preach it, is because the righteousness of God is revealed in it. How we are made righteous in God's eyes is revealed in the gospel. That we really are made righteous. When we're conformed into the image of Jesus, Jesus is righteous. We're changed from a dead in sin person to someone who is hidden in Jesus Christ. The next part of the verse we see there is that the righteousness of God is for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. So that limits this. There's a limiting effect in the gospel. For God so loved the world, everybody, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes. That draws this tight circle around how to experience God's love through his Son that he gave. It's not this general way you experience God's love. Some of you have heard it in here before. Me talk about the ark is a good picture of this. Does God love the world? Yes. Who felt his love? Those on the ark, right? And so that whosoever believes is kind of like the ark. For anyone who believes that will receive Christ by faith, that is where the power of the gospel to make someone righteous lies. That's where it's revealed in verse 17 we see there. And then he quotes from Habakkuk, "The righteous shall live by faith." We'll get to that in a bit. So faith, then, is what we're going to talk about today. And not super in-depth. We're going to go through a whole bunch of Bible verses that you can see that faith is a requirement for salvation. Last week, we learned that righteousness is a requirement for salvation. And today, we're going to learn that faith is a requirement for salvation. So Romans 1, 18, the next verse where we're going to kick off next week says, "For the wrath of God is revealed against all kinds of unrighteousness." So that's just big turn. I don't know if you've ever been reading your Bible. It's like the gospel is the power of God in salvation. Everyone who believes, because the righteousness of God is revealed in it, for the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed. And then it goes into this, how everybody's bad for two more chapters. So what's happening here is Paul makes this statement that we are made righteous by faith. The righteous live by faith. And then he begins his argument like a wise lawyer down at the bottom. And he's going to go in Romans 1, 18 all the way through 4:25, laying out how the righteous live by faith. But 1:18 through 3:20 is how all are in need of righteousness, salvation. Because there's folks in this church that thinks they're righteous because they have Abraham's DNA in them. And I'm not going to unpack all that in this verse because literally the next months we're going to unpack what it means the righteous shall live by faith. And then there's this big turning point. So turn over in your Bible to Romans chapter 3, 21 through 22. So in between the verse we read today and here in 3:21 is all about how everyone is sinful. Everyone is sinful. So if you're wondering what we're going to be talking about at Fellowship Baptist Church in the coming months, it's how we're all bad and sinful. But there's this turn in 3:21-22. But now, notice again, the righteousness of God has been manifested. Manifest means to make known. Every time I see the word manifest, I picture curtains being opened. And now it's made known. It's always been there. That's what it's like. Now I can see it. It's made known. It's manifested. Okay? Apart from the law, apart from the Ten Commandments of Moses. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Now here it is. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. That sounds almost exactly what our text today is, doesn't it? Righteousness by faith for those who believe. And so then he spells out in 3:21 through 4:25 what it means to be justified by faith. And then we get to Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith. So that's just kind of an overview of those of you that know Romans a little bit. For those of you that don't know Romans at all, I want you to see today that faith is a requirement for salvation. I want you to see clearly in your Bible that faith is a requirement for salvation. Remember I told you that righteousness is in Romans. The root word for righteousness and justice is in Romans over 60 times. Well, the word faith is used 37, some form of the word faith is 37 times in Romans, and believe is 20 times in Romans. So that's 57. So about the same amount of times in Romans, you're going to come across the root word for justice and righteousness as you are faith and believing. It's because Romans is all about being righteous by faith. That sounds simple to some of you, but if you study church history a little bit, you'll see why it's confusing. Because the Bible is explicitly clear, you must be holy to get to heaven. And the Bible is explicitly clear that the only way to get to heaven is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so over the last 2,000 years, you have the people that want to live on this pole. It's only about faith. Faith alone, it doesn't matter what you do. Righteousness is your righteousness is in heaven. How you live on earth makes no difference. There's a whole group of folks called free grace theology that would say, as long as you say the words, I believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter if you rape, pillage, and steal, you're going to heaven. Now, on the other side, on the polar opposite of that, you'll find a group that sees all this righteousness spoken about. And they'll say, if you slip up and if you don't do everything perfectly right, you're not going to heaven. Because the Bible's clear, you have to be righteous. Now, the Bible isn't some great middle ground in history. The Bible is a lightning rod that divides history. But on this particular topic, it really is, how do we live righteously by faith? And that's where you have to start with that we're not righteous, what we'll be over in the next few months, and then how we're made righteous by faith. So just, I want to show you two explicit texts in the Old Testament, just so that we will know that faith isn't just a New Testament idea. We're going to see today that the Old Testament, talking about faith, really is kind of like a water fountain, right? And the New Testament talking about faith is kind of like a fire hydrant. One of them, you get blown away and it's obvious. But I want you to see, it's in the Old Testament too. It's not grace and faith in the New Testament and law in the Old Testament. The law is grace through faith. At the very beginning, in Genesis 15, verse 6, you see that he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. So if you don't know who he and him is and who him and he is, that verse makes absolutely no sense to you whatsoever, right? That's why it's important to read your Bible. Because some of you are in here thinking, I know that's Abraham and God. And some of you are like, I don't know who he and him is. So side note here, January 1st, we're going to start again reading our Bibles. And this year, I'll still have all kinds of options out there, but we're going to find one, and I want to encourage everybody to read together this year. That way everybody at Fellowship Baptist Church is reading the same thing, and then when we're together throughout this year, like we've done a handful of years ago, we'll be talking about, when we get to Genesis 15, we'll be able to talk about it together. Okay? All right, back on track. Abraham was this guy who lived with his dad who worshipped pagans. And God tells Abraham, I want you to leave where you're at and go to a place I'll show you later. So Abraham gets up and he goes. He follows God. He believes God told him to go, so he goes. But that's not what this belief is in this verse. So later on, Abraham is an old man. He's married to an old woman who has never had a baby and is barren. And God tells them they're going to have a baby and that this baby will be a father of many nations and that God is going to bring redemption to the world through this baby who ends up being Isaac. And Abraham said, okay, I believe it. I believe you're going to make me a father of nations, even though I'm too old to have a baby and she's too old to have a baby. But he believed this miraculous promise from God. And it says that he believed the Lord. That's Abraham believed the Lord. And he, the Lord, counted it to him, Abraham, as righteousness. Abraham says, okay, I'm going to go be with my wife Sarah. You're going to work this miracle. We're going to have a baby. He believed that promise. But God, in heaven, counted it to him as righteousness. How does that work? And we don't get the fullness of that till the New Testament. Some of these verses, but that's the righteous shall live by faith in Habakkuk and all these verses in the New Testament that God said, if you will trust me and obey me, those two things that go together, I'm going to consider you righteous and just, Abraham. You see, Abraham wasn't righteous and just. He was a son of Adam. He was a son of Eve. And therefore, none does good, no, not one. That's Abraham. But God, when Abraham believed, had faith, God said, you're righteous. You're good enough to be in my presence now. Because he believed. That's it. And we know he believed because he went and laid with his wife and had a baby. And that's where this verse in Habakkuk 2:4 comes from. Habakkuk is one of those little books at the end of your Old Testament of a prophet. And this is the most famous verse in it. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright in him. He's comparing and contrasting the wicked and the righteous. And he says, but the righteous shall live by faith. That's an Old Testament verse saying that you're righteous by what you believe, what you trust, and what you have faith in. And then there's tons of implicit verses about faith in the Old Testament. I just got one, Psalms 42:5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope, that's a forward faith is hope. Forward faith, hope in God, for I shall again praise him of my salvation. This is a sinful person with problems saying, you know what? God will cover my sins and I can hope in him. The people that killed lambs in the Old Testament knew that the blood of that lamb is not what cleansed their souls. They knew that. Because every time they killed a lamb, they had on the calendar next year's lamb to kill. Because they knew that one didn't get it done, right? And so by faith, they take God at his word that if we will do this, he will consider us righteous. And we're going to unpack this moving forward through Romans. So it was in the Old Testament, sometimes explicit, many times implicit, but it is all over the New Testament. So just a heads up, get your Bible, get your ink pen and your paper, because the rest of the sermon is a whole slew of verses about faith, okay? It's in the Gospels, Matthew 9, verse 2. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, that's a person that can't walk, lying on a bed, and when Jesus saw their faith, so we're going to be looking for words like faith, trust, and believing, right? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now they're coming to get the body fixed, and Jesus fixes a soul because of faith. Okay? So this is Jesus' work here. Jesus answered them in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. So there's a spot, folks, in your Bible where Jesus simply says, you need to have faith in God. You need to believe God. You need to trust in God. Have faith in God, folks. In Luke 7:50, this very sinful woman comes to him, anoints his feet, meaning she's casting herself at his mercy, and he says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Because you believe, trust, and have faith in me, I'm going to forgive you of your sins. That she's putting all her hope in Jesus, she gets her sins forgiven. And then John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, has faith in him, trusts in him, that's faith, should not perish but have eternal life. That's salvation. You get salvation by believing, trusting, and having hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, John sums up the Gospels pretty good, I think, at the end when he says, I've written this so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's eternal life, meaning salvation. John says, I'm writing my whole letter here so that you'll believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Messiah, and that through believing that, you'll actually get saved. That's what John's saying there. So in the Gospels, we see clearly, and I just picked a verse out of each one, we see clearly that faith is what saves. Jesus says, cheer up, woman. Your faith saved you. Cheer up. Your faith has saved you. He sees faith. He forgives sins in Matthew, right? In the book of Acts, it's the same thing. We see Paul preaching in Antioch of Pisidia. And in Acts 13, 39, it's just what you need to know is Paul's preaching a sermon. And in this sermon, he says, by him, Jesus, everyone who believes, see faith, see trust, see believing, is freed from everything from which they could not be freed by the law of Moses. Through believing, trusting in Jesus, you can be completely free. You don't need another limb year after year after year. See, Moses' law kept you in that continually needing a sacrifice. Through believing in Jesus, you're freed from it. The law couldn't free you from that sin. Believing, having faith in Jesus, does. Moving right along then to the letters. Most of them written by Paul, and then we'll have Peter and John at the end. Romans, we've seen today, and we'll cover moving forward. But I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 1:21. Since in the wisdom of God, the world didn't know God. You don't get saved by wisdom. You don't get into His presence by wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach, the gospel, to save those who believe. Notice that going together. Salvation, believing. God's wisdom is that you don't get saved by being wise. You get saved by faith, believing. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight, not by what we see. Our whole lives as Christians is based upon faith. Galatians 2:16. Yet we know that a person is not justified. Hey, now you know that means made righteous, right? A person is not justified by works of the law, meaning obeying the Ten Commandments, but through faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any more explicit than that right there. Paul says, we know a person is not made right with God, made righteous in His sight, by doing the things the law says to do, but by having faith in Jesus Christ. He says, in fact, in Galatians 2:20, just another verse in the same chapter, we live now by faith in the Son of God. In Galatians 3:24, so then the law was our guardian. It just got us ready until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. I put an extra one for Galatians in there because it's so explicit that we might be made righteous in His sight by faith. The law just got us ready for that. We're going to see how when we unpack Romans. Ephesians 2:8 says, you have been saved, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. It is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not what you do. It's not your work. In fact, Ephesians 2:10 says, it's God's work. You're His workmanship. Not your work, His work. By grace, through you believing, through faith. Philippians 3:9, Paul is saying, I want to be found in Him, in Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, doing things, working out my own righteousness. I don't want that righteousness, but I want that which comes through faith in Christ. I want a righteousness that comes through believing, trusting faith in Jesus Christ. And that righteousness from God depends on faith. Another explicit place in the New Testament. Righteousness from God to us is by faith. That's what makes us right. What makes us righteous. What makes us just. What makes us good. In fact, Paul says in Colossians that it's rooted and established in faith. Moving along to 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For since we believe, faith, that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring Him with Him those who have fallen asleep. Our eternal salvation, future resurrection from the dead, going to heaven, is based upon our believing that Jesus died and rose again. So your hope of an eternal state in heaven is based upon your hope that Jesus died and rose again to get you there. Faith, not works, not what you do, not your own righteous deeds. Only by believing. He tells the young pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:16, I received mercy, Paul say, I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience. Paul's saying, God saved me so everybody could see how patient and kind God is. That's what Paul thought of himself. He said, as an example to those who were to believe in him, in Jesus, for eternal life. Again, explicit. I hope you're starting to think, man, I don't know how anybody ever argues with this. It's obvious that we're saved eternally just by believing in Jesus. By believing in Jesus. In 2 Timothy 3:15, his second letter that he writes to Timothy, he's encouraging him to remember the scriptures. And he says, to remember that from a childhood you were acquainted with the sacred writings, that's the Old Testament, that's the scriptures, and they are able to make you wise for salvation. You can read the Old Testament and be wise enough to get saved. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says, Timothy, you need to remember your Old Testament part of your Bible, because in that is what has made you wise enough to do what? Simply believe in Jesus. Believe. That's it. That's amazing. That's an amazing text right there. They make you wise to believe, have faith in Jesus. He tells Titus Titus 3, 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared, he saved us. That's salvation, right? Not because of works done by us in righteousness. Not because we've done righteous things. Now remember, I laid out last week, the Bible's clear, you have to be righteous. Paul's telling Titus, he saved us not because we do righteous stuff, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out, the Holy Spirit, he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified, made righteous, by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He says, Titus, we're not saved because we've done righteous things. We're saved because we've been made righteous by God's grace. And I would add, we believe that. He unpacks that in there. A few more here. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Mark that down as a memory verse for you, your children or your grandchildren, your parents, your family, your friends, those around you. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For who would ever draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those that seek him. To do that, you have to actually believe. Without faith, you cannot please God. Now you think, well, that means salvation, and it does, but that's just talking about everyday life, too. You want to be pleasing to God in how you do your homework, kids? How you do your job, adults? The only way to actually please God is by doing everything you do by faith. In fact, Paul says in Romans, we'll read this a few years from now, anything not done in faith is a sin. Anything you don't do, it's at the end of Romans. That's why I said that. So that's Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews. So we've had a bunch of Paul, we've had the writer of Hebrews. Now James, the brother of our Lord, says, some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. Now James lays out that you want to, he attacks this free grace theology 2,000 years ago that says it doesn't matter how you live as long as you believe. Paul says, I will show you what I believe by how I live. And we're going to unpack that in Romans 6. It's the same thing. I grew up and I remember hearing some of the older men in the church talking about Paul and James being at odds. And I remember reading the Bible and learning and growing, like, what are you talking about? Paul could have wrote James and James could have wrote Romans. They go together perfectly. It is faith and righteousness, righteous by faith. Peter, another apostle, says, who by God's power, that's talking about the church, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. So here's another apostle saying our salvation is being kept and guarded by what we believe, who we trust, who we have faith in. Are you seeing a theme of where salvation lies? Two more texts. 1 John 5:4. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. It's pretty explicit, isn't it? You want to overcome the world? You want to overcome the devil? Believe. Trust. And lastly, Jude. This one is more implicit, but it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, saying you got to build yourself up in believing. You got to spring up and grow in trust. And then in the Revelation, two of the churches mentions their faith. And then in Revelation 13:10, he talks about enduring through faith of the saints. So here's a whole group of scriptures in the New Testament that makes it super duper, double duper, explicit and clear. The only way to have the fullness of salvation is faith. Trusting in Jesus alone. Trusting in Jesus is how you get saved. It's clear. The Bible is clear. That's why this group over here I told you about exists, because it's so clear, right? But you know why this group over here about holiness exists? It's because I hope last week it was clear that to be in God's presence, to go to heaven, you actually have to be holy. You have to be righteous. So that's why for 2,000 years, it has been this pendulum that swings both sides, and it's been these debates, and you have different, different churches and different denominations that some will extenuate this, and some will show forth this. It's because both are explicitly clear. You must be 100% holy to be in the presence of God in heaven. And it's 100% clear that the only way to get to God's presence in heaven is through faith alone. I hope that's putting in your mind, now wait a minute, how then? That's why I said this, Paul makes this statement, and then he spends these next three chapters showing how that is and why that is. That it goes perfectly together. That Jesus Christ lived a perfect, righteous life. He was just. From the time, kids, he showed up in the manger, all the way till he died on the cross at 33, he never once did something wrong or thought something wrong or desired something wrong. He never said anything wrong. Jesus was righteous. And he died on the cross to pay for the sins of all those who would believe in him. He offers himself, his righteousness up. And what happens, and we'll get to this in Romans, in imputation. On the cross, Jesus takes the sins of his people and he says, they're mine. And on the cross, in the resurrection, he gives his righteousness to those who have faith. And he says, it's theirs. And so when God, in his infinite love and wisdom, looks down at the cross, he sees all those who will have faith in Jesus, sins being paid for, eternally wiped away, gone. And when he sees you, dear saint who has faith in Jesus, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are righteous in Jesus. If you have faith in him. He lays out this perfectly, I think, in the book of Romans. It's why it's probably my favorite book, is because it takes this conundrum that do I just need to believe more or do I need to do more? And he makes this beautiful picture empowered by the Spirit that says, yes, do by believing. Believe by doing. Receive Jesus Christ by faith. You can end up in legalism. That's this group over here. It says you got to do. Work to get to heaven because the Bible's clear. You got to be holy. And the antinomianism, which you've heard me mention before, just means anti-law, means it doesn't matter what you do. Just say you believe and all is okay. Both of those are heresies. Both of those will end up in hell. It's not just a matter of which church is right on this. If you believe that you can say, I believe in Jesus, that you can be baptized and join the church and not have a changed life, not have a new heart and evidence of it, you will go to hell. You will pay for not being righteous. On the other hand, if you think you're going to heaven because you're doing all the right things, you got the right amount of stars in Sunday school and you brought your Bible the right amount of times, you had all the questions in VBS, you didn't act like all the other foolish kids in high school, and you went into your marriage without all the extra sins, and you've raised your kids right, and your grandkids all go to church and tithe. If you think you're going to heaven because you've written checks to Lottie Moon, you're not going. That's a heresy that says you can get to heaven by doing all the right things, whether it's Jewish right things or Southern Baptist right things. And God has given us a letter here that lays out explicitly the righteous live by faith. You get to heaven by being righteous, and you get to heaven by believing. And we're going to see how those go together. We are going to see that one must truly believe that they're righteous and justified in Christ and truly be changed by God from being a slave to sin to being a slave to righteousness. That's Romans 6 language. Before we get there, we're going to start next week in this beautiful Christmas season of God revealing His wrath against all mankind and unrighteousness. And He's going to build an argument better than Ben Matlock could, that shows you by the end he gets done that no one will stand before God because they're righteous apart from Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I love your word. Father, when I am weak, your word is still glorious. Father, when we're ignorant, your word is true. When we learn for the first time that Abraham was made righteous by faith, Father, you are good to us. We say thank you. Father, I just want to pray for myself, for my family, for Fellowship Baptist Church, and the Christians in our community and the lost in our community, that we would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That we would not trust in works done in our body. We would trust in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And Father, I pray for myself and my family and this church, this community, Father, that we would be holy and righteous. That through your Spirit, through your good word, we would see how that beautifully goes together. And that we would trust in Jesus to make us righteous, to complete the good work He has done, that we are righteous already in your sight, and He is doing a work through His Spirit. May we trust your Son, Jesus. In His name we pray, amen and amen.